And he speaks to us specifically, clearly, through his word. This is the most reliable, most trustworthy way to know the heart and mind of God. The more you are familiar with his word here, the more you will know him and be able to recognize when he speaks to your heart. If you become familiar with what he's already said, then you will be able to more readily and more easily distinguish between truth and falsehood.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast. This week, we welcomed back Brother John Roberts, whom delivered his sermon titled, Knowing the Voice of God. Brother John preached on scripture found in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, and verses 14 through 16. Brother John taught about the ways God can speak to us and taught on the importance of studying scripture to enable us to discern God's voice versus the voices of falsehood. We pray that Brother John's message will touch you, and we hope you will join us again next week for another great sermon.
Come here sometimes with the expectations of worship. Many of us have expectations of good fellowship. I think most of us, when we come here with the expectation that we're going to hear from God. Amen? And this morning, I hope to help you meet that goal. First of all, before I share a message from the Word today, I want to be sure to let you know how thankful I have been to, in this short couple of months, to have been a part of this fellowship, and that you would allow me to come and share God's Word with you. That is nothing shy of an honor and a blessing for me, and I hope to be a blessing as well to you in return. I never take this lightly. This is always a privilege, and I always find it amazing that someone trusts me enough to let me break the bread of life with them, so I appreciate that. If you would please take your Bibles this morning. We're going to be looking in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, looking in chapter 10. And, you know, we come here expecting to hear a word from God, and I think it's because we long to hear his voice. You know, last week we talked about our innate desire, the one that's deep in our heart, that longing for us to see the face of God. But until we are able to see the face of God, we want to hear his voice. I believe that's all good and proper. Turn with me, as I said, in John chapter 10. If you would stand, please. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 and then skip down and read a couple other verses in this chapter. And Jesus is discussing what it really means to be his sheep. And starting in verse 1, he says, I tell you the truth. A man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, he is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now go down to verse 14. Jesus continues saying, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen, this sheep pen, but I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. I am always fascinated by things in nature. When I see the awesome creativity that God had when he put together this world. I used to love watching those nature shows, Jacques Cousteau, and I love watching the National Geographic shows, and now they have shows like Nova and Wonders and all of these other shows. They're fascinating to watch what these little animals will do. But if you'll notice that in nature, baby animals seem to have this built-in ability to distinguish their mother's or their father's voice. And sometimes even in amongst a herd or a crowd, that baby can tell when mom's squawking, even among all the other squawks. I was thinking about this show we watched, and in fact, it was kind of a popular thing here about 10 years ago, talking about the emperor penguins down in the Antarctic, and how these are the penguins where if the guy penguin really likes his girl, he gives her a pebble. Great. That's why we give rocks to our loved ones, right? The ones that go on here, on our rings. But that little baby chick can hear mom or dad's distinct squawk whenever they call. And I mean, there's thousands in these groups, right? I think that's just fascinating how they can do that. Well, it's no different for us. I think in the human realm, it's natural for a child to know his or her mom's voice. It's dads too, but more readily mom. They tend to hear that, and it starts even before they're born. You know, that baby, before birth, recognizes mom's tone of voice, recognizes when she's excited, when she's calm, her tones, her breathing, her emotions. When that child is born and laid in mom's arms, they instantly know that's mom. Hopefully, within a short time, that's dad too. Dad wants to hold the kid too, right? But that's the way they are. And the child is usually able to distinguish this quickly. I remember being lost in the grocery stores frequently when I was a kid. And mom would get so embarrassed, but they'd go over the loudspeaker. Is John out there? Your mother is looking for you. Please come to the front office. But I could hear. I knew. I also knew my parents' voice when I was in trouble. You know, you always knew when dad was calling. You knew when mom was calling too, but you knew you had a little more time to react, to respond. It's just the way it was. But how many of you, if God were to speak to you, how many of you would be able to recognize his voice? Who could say even what his voice sounds like? And we saw in here today in this passage where Jesus said that his sheep listen to his voice. And they follow him because they know his voice. And so, his voice must be clearly recognizable somehow. But what does it sound like? Anyone say, hey, I know what the voice of the Lord sounds like? I mean, you'd think they were kind of weird. They're hearing voices in their heads and kind of shun this person. But in honesty, a person who is following Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength knows the voice of God. Now, how do we know when the shepherd of our souls is actually speaking to us today? This morning, I'd like to take a look first at how the Bible describes the voice of God. And then I want us to look together at what it actually means to hear God's voice. If you would, keep your fingers in John. We're going to look at a couple of passages today. Keep your fingers there in John 10 and turn back to Psalms, Psalm 29. And this is a beautiful psalm, a majestic psalm that David has painted a picture here. And you want to know the truth, it is a sound picture. It is written in such a way that it describes the voice of the Lord in sound imagery. And with this captivating imagery, if you would, he describes God's voice in terms of a huge storm, a huge coastal storm like they would have there in the Mediterranean, and how it would have sounded to a person's ears. We use sounds, we use words like that all the time. We use words like kaboom or crack or rattle to describe what those events sound like, right? So that's what he's using here. And David begins, let's look starting in verse 3. David says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters." His voice is being described as this echoing thunder. This is actually the most common description you'll find in the Old Testament for God's voice. It's always the imagery of something loud and thunderous, and it echoes and resonates all around you. Have you ever sat and listened to a thunderstorm? And I used to love doing that. I'd sit on the back porch, and you'd watch the lightning, and you hear the booms, and it would shake. And the only time it ever unsettles me is when I watch lightning strike my little transformer on the back telephone pole, and then it really explodes. You know, so we don't like those things. But sometimes the rattles and the shakes are so intense that you can feel the ground underneath your feet shaking, right? And that's what the Lord's voice is like, echoing thunder. And then verse 4, he says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful." I mean, it's like a powerful roar. Years ago when I was stationed in Germany, one of my jobs was to maintain aircraft. And I had to go one time to the north end of the base, and that's where they had their engine test cells. What they would do is they'd take the engine out of these fighter jets, and they'd mount them on these racks, hook them all up, and they would do engine runs. Well, as I stood in my truck sometimes, watching as they were doing these tests, you could see them revving it up and down, and you would see them getting all powerful. But when they would put it all the way to what we called full military power, there would be this flame that would go out about 50, 60 feet, and the trees, sometimes 20 and 30 feet tall, would be almost flat. And I thought, you know, if man can develop that kind of power, imagine what God could do. Imagine the power of his voice when he spoke. He's powerful, and he roars. And then he says in the other part of this verse, he says, "The voice of the Lord is majestic." It reminds me of a majestic shout or a command of a great king. You know, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 that we will one day hear the great King of Kings shout from heaven, and all mankind will rise up from the grave. It is a shout of majesty. In verse 5, he says, "The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars." The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. Gives you the picture of this great hammer. I know popular here lately has been watching the Avengers and the mighty Thor with his mythical hammer. You know, he's got nothing on the power of God Almighty. In fact, God's voice alone has power beyond measure. In fact, God, with his voice, is able to speak entire universes into existence. But he also has the power to break and to crush and to snap anything in his way. Such is the power of God. He's like a hammer. Then David says he makes Lebanon skip like a calf. Sirion, or we call that Mount Hermon today, like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. It gives you the imagery that his voice is like an earthquake. You ever been in an earthquake? It's pretty unnerving. When we were in Alaska, we experienced that often. I remember one time we were sitting in our kitchen table, and all of a sudden the chandelier started shaking like this and swaying. And we're like, what was that? Well, that was an earthquake. And we didn't, there's nothing you can do to prepare for them. They just happen. So they're pretty unsettling. Verse 7, he says, the voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. So his voice is like lightning that explodes. Verse 9, he says, the voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry, glory. His voice is like a hurricane. You've seen tornadoes, what they can do. A hurricane's even bigger than that. It just will rip and twist and tear things up. Now, the Bible also describes the voice of the Lord as a loud trumpet. In Exodus 19 and 20, this is when the Israelites first experienced, they first encountered the Lord there at Mount Sinai. And what they saw was terrifying. They saw thunder and lightning, billowing smoke, violent shaking, and worst of all, a resounding trumpet blast. And it wasn't until recently when I reread that passage, I realized it said that it grew louder and louder and louder by the minute. Can you imagine the experience of all of this noise? And it was all the voice of God. In fact, it was so unsettling that they said, when the people experienced all this, they trembled with fear. And from a distance, they said to Moses, you speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us any longer. They couldn't bear it. In fact, it was so unsettling, so unnerving, that not even Moses could stand it. It says in Hebrews 12 that he too was so scared that he trembled in fear. Well, these images are pretty unsettling at best. They depict the voice of the Lord as something ominous, something fearful. But if we only look at that, we're only looking at half of the story. You see, there is another description of God's voice, one that is probably a little more calming to your soul than mine, I think. And that is this voice of love. God's voice is described in so many ways as that, the voice of love, the voice of mercy, the voice of grace. We like that. You know, Paul says in Romans 11:22 that we are to consider both sides of God's character and nature. We're not only supposed to look at his stern side and lest we ever forget that, but we're to look at his good side too, his kind side, his loving side. And, you know, as a good father, he is stern toward us when we need correction, when we need rebuke. But because of his love for us, he also has this beautiful kind side that offers us comfort and consolation when we need it. That's how a shepherd would speak to his sheep. God's voice in this light is described as gentler more soft-spoken. And over the centuries, God's people have learned to listen for that voice, to follow whichever way He directs them to go. That's the image we see here in John chapter 10 again, where Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd and we being His flock, His sheep. And over the centuries, people have learned to hear that voice and have gone as God has directed them to do. I was thinking about that elderly man in the temple, probably in his late 80s. His name was Simeon. And if you remember the story, Simeon had been waiting and waiting for the Christ to come. In fact, it says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Luke tells us that he was moved by the Spirit to go into the temple courts. And when Jesus' parents brought the child to him and brought them into the temple, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God. Now, folks, imagine Simeon's disappointment. If he had ignored the Spirit's nudge, if he had turned off God's voice and had ignored that altogether, only to discover that he had missed out on God's blessing. I think we do that too. Sometimes we fail to pay attention. We fail to hear God's word. We don't listen to it, and we miss out on the blessings that would have been ours had we heard, had we responded. So how does God speak to us today? How does He speak to you and me in this world? I mean, are we to expect loud sonic booms? Flashes of lightning. I hear some of the mockers say that. If He would only speak to me in a big, loud, boomy voice, then I might consider He's real. But God doesn't do that. And God won't do that. The voice of the shepherd is not like that. You remember when God was visiting the prophet Elijah on the mountaintop? He was up there hiding. He was afraid because Jezebel had promised to kill him, and he was complaining that all the prophets had been killed in Israel, and he was the last one. The guy was in a sorry state. At first, though, Elijah expected to hear the Lord's voice coming out of a windstorm. He didn't hear anything. And then he thought he would be speaking out of an earthquake because the earth shook around him. But nothing. And then finally this fiery flame that nearly engulfed him, and still no voice, no word. Until at last, Elijah heard God whisper to him in that still, small voice. And that's when he truly heard and was able to respond to God's call. Now, many believers today, I am, in my experience, have told me that they have difficulty in knowing when God is speaking to them. They struggle with that. Said, "Boy, I wish I could hear from God about this situation or that. I wish I knew what He was trying to say. I wish I knew what direction He's heading me into." Well, maybe it's not that He's not speaking, but that people have difficulty clearly distinguishing between the voice of God and those other voices. They're not simply familiar enough with God's word and God's voice. And I think a lot of this is due to maybe inexperience or immaturity. A lot of people, have not been discipled and told how to listen for God's word, how to listen to His voice when He speaks. And so they're new in the faith and they haven't been trained. But some of it is due to not spending the time that's needed with Him, They don't spend personal time in prayer. They don't spend time in God's Word, in studying and reading. And some of them, they don't know that, hey, I need to find a quiet place. That's kind of hard to do in this world. I mean, we have noise going all over the place. But the reason they're not hearing is because they haven't found a place away from the noise, away from the distractions of this world, a place where the Lord has freedom to speak to you. And sometimes we don't hear from God because we discount what a brother or sister in Christ lovingly is trying to tell you. You say, well, that's just their opinion, is the response. So it's important for us to be able to filter out the competing noises, the competing voices from this world, and then to purposely zero in on God's voice when He speaks. So how does He speak to us today? I've already said He's not going to kaboom or blast you, but He can at times speak to us audibly. I will tell you, this is rare. In our day, hearing an actual word from God is rare. It's not impossible, but it's very rare. It's not His usual mode of operation. And we found that when God does that, it's for a one-time purpose, a one-time event, something that is for a specific need right then and there. Usually not repeated. Believers throughout history have heard the audible voice of God, even though they haven't seen His face or they haven't seen His form, but they've immediately recognized this as God speaking to them. God also speaks what I call spirit to spirit. Paul says His Spirit communes with our spirit, reminding us that we are His children. Sometimes He gives us this gentle nudge, you know, kind of like, I want you to go talk to this person. I want you to go do this. And it's nothing, you know, get out there and do it kind of thing with a whip. It's a nudge. And you know in your soul that He is speaking to you and you are to act or speak as He moves you to do. This one, though, is probably the most important way in which He speaks to us. And He speaks to us specifically, clearly, through His Word. This is the most reliable, most trustworthy way to know the heart and mind of God. The more you are familiar with His Word here, the more you will know Him and be able to recognize when He speaks to your heart. If you become familiar with what He's already said, then you will be able to more readily and more easily distinguish between truth and falsehood. You see, familiarity with the shepherd's voice helps you distinguish between his voice and the voices of those Jesus calls thieves and robbers. Look back in our passage here in verses 4 and 5 of John 10. Let me read this to you again. He said, when He has brought out all His own, He goes on ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from Him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. We are to be familiar with what God has written, what God has given us. Now, there is one other way, and there may be others, but I think for purposes today, the way God speaks to us is also through other followers of Christ. Wise King Solomon, he wrote in Proverbs, a friend loves at all times. And the wounds of a friend can be trusted. Now, I don't listen to everybody, but I listen to those I trust who are walking in step with the Spirit. I've learned to receive those things from others because I don't see everything. I don't know everything. And a brother or sister that comes alongside me and says, "Brother John, let's address this." That person is a treasure beyond measure because I receive that and I get my steps corrected. Now, some people have a hard time with that. But I'm going to tell you, a true friend and brother or sister in Christ is the one who loves you enough to risk telling you the truth, even if it hurts. Solomon knew that the proof of someone who was truly wise is evidenced by their ability to receive counsel or correction or encouragement and rebuke at the hand of a trusted friend. I don't care how long you've been walking in Christ. I've known Christ since I was 11 years old. Maybe before then. But I never, ever get to a point where I'm not teachable. We have to stay open to that. And if we're wise, we'll remain that way all the rest of our days. Years ago, I sat on a hillside in Germany. Down below, I saw a flock of sheep. And I thought it was an unusual event because I didn't realize they had shepherds running all over Germany freely, taking their sheep here and there. And I saw this old shepherd had his shepherd's crook and he was leading this flock. And I was just close enough to where I could hear what was going on. I was fascinated to watch this, not just to see it, but the sounds were what intrigued me. That shepherd was communicating all the time with his sheep. Now, he didn't do it with words necessarily. He did it sometimes with little clicks. He'd make little clicks in his voice, or he'd make little whistles, or he'd make some vocal tones and things like that. And every time he would do so, they would do whatever he wanted them to do. In other words, if he started going to the left, he'd make a little click or a little tone, and those sheep would just be right there behind him. And it was so funny watching him because he'd take two or three steps this way and it was like this mass herd would just be right there. And they continually stayed at his feet. I never saw any of them wander or stray. Not one. And I must have watched him for about 30 minutes. Not one of these sheep went away from him. They trusted the shepherd to lead them safely to good pasture, and they followed his every command because why? They knew him. They trusted him. They had heard his voice, and his voice always spoke good things to them. Our shepherd, that good shepherd of ours, he's like that with his sheep, too. His sheep, when he speaks, oh boy, they know there's no voice like God's. We can follow him when he speaks without fear, and we can trust his directions completely. The scriptures say, use this term, hearing the voice of God. And that always implies, it always means both actively listening, but also means being fully obedient to his commands. We used to learn the different communication skills, and one of them was called actively listening. I mean, some of you guys can relate. Your wife may be talking to you, and you're reading something, and you know, you're listening, but it's not an active listening, is it? Active listening says, I have eye contact, or I am fully engaged. And then I'm willing at that point to do something, or to act, or do whatever it takes. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So that is the question for today as we close. Are you listening? Are you listening for the voice of God? Maybe he's speaking to you right now. I don't know. I think he is. Perhaps, you know, knowing the Lord like I do, perhaps he's spoken to you before. And you either said no, or we'll talk about this later. Maybe for some reason or other, you just weren't paying attention. And I find it amazing, knowing how great and powerful God is, that he puts in our hands the privilege of choosing to say no. It's in our power to choose whether or not to listen, whether or not to follow. The only choice that we don't have is to be indifferent. Remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. He says, "I would rather you either be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, indifferent, I will spew you out of my mouth." Please understand me. How we choose to respond to the voice of the Lord comes with its own set of consequences, whether it's blessings or cursings. One day we know that the entire world is going to hear his voice. John 5, Jesus said, "A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear my voice and come out. And those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." Yes, I'm going to tell you, my friend, on that day, everyone will hear his voice, and you will have no choice but to answer him who speaks from the judgment seat. And yet, the loving Lord of all urges you now, today, right now, to begin listening to him, to not just listening as in, "I hear the words," but following, being obedient, and listening to that great shepherd, the one who the Father declared from heaven when Jesus was standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, out of the cloud, he said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Listen to him. Again, I ask, are you listening? Father, as we have gathered here today, worship and study and fellowship, Father, we need to hear from you. In fact, we need to hear your voice loud and clear. Lord, that we might distinguish your voice from the rest of the noise in this world, that we might do what is pleasing and good in your sight. Lord, for each of these here today that are present, we pray that if you have been speaking to them, that they would stop and listen. Lord, that you might restore fellowship and direction. Help them to find their spiritual ears to hear. Thank you, Lord, for being our great, wonderful shepherd. We love you, Lord, and we give you thanks for your word that speaks to us so clearly. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Before we sing our final song today, and it's hymn number 320, what's God telling you today? I have a list, because I don't want to be off the hip on some of this stuff. Let me read you my list. Maybe it'll help you to hear God's voice a little bit better. First of all, is he calling you to spend time with him in quiet and in prayer? Is he calling you? Is his voice saying, come spend time with me? Maybe you're not doing that. Maybe it's not a habit of yours. Maybe you just kind of, well, I hope sometime during the day or during the week I get a chance to read or pray or whatever. Pretty unpurposeful if you do that. Is he urging you to get your heart clean at the altar of confession? Maybe you've been harboring or holding on to something that you just need to be obedient and confess it. Maybe confess it to a brother or sister that you might be cleansed. Perhaps he's nudging you, he's speaking to you to humble yourself and get right with someone. We were talking about that in Sunday school today, weren't we? About making sure you get right with them before they take you to court. Well, we hope we don't get to that point. But you know, we fail sometimes to get right with our brother and sister, and that festers, and it builds up, and it makes us bitter. And so is he telling you today, go get it right. Forgive them. And maybe you'll receive forgiveness as well. And then fourth, has he put someone on your heart today? Someone that you're supposed to be calling on or visiting. I'm not talking about people who just visit here and one time and you don't see them anymore. That's important too. We need to be doing that. But how about somebody who maybe can't get out? Shut-ins, elderly folks that can't get out. Or maybe there's just somebody that's needing a hand of love on them, you know, an encouragement. Or how about this? Maybe he's given you a burden to tell someone you know about Jesus. Do you know that person without Christ will go to hell? It is a reality. It is not a guess. Hell is for real. But even more importantly, and this is your last one, I'll leave you go with this and we'll sing. Has he been calling to your heart, asking you to let him in, to be your shepherd and your Lord? You know, he wants to give each of us new life, clean, holy heart, a holy mind, a holy life, and he wants to make you one of his sheep. And he will lead you safely along that path. Jesus said, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in and I'm going to have chicken dinner with you. Are you hearing his voice today? Don't harden your heart toward him. Let him soften that. Turn your eyes on him, the great shepherd of our souls. And that's what we're going to sing. Would you stand, please? Hymn 320.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life. But I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.